Hey, group chat, I know y'all see my text.
There's tea to be spilled.
Each week, we're bringing you our unfiltered take on culture, news, dating, and our lives as Black millennial women. We're coming to y'all with the honesty and eye rolls that only a text chain with your girls can. This is Black Girls Texting with Chelsea, Glenn, and Sade. Hello, we are so lucky to have Danielle Bayard in the group chat for a second time. If you are an OG listener, you know she spoke with us on episode 147, Is That My Bestie in a Tessie? And it was an incredible conversation, so I'm so lucky that she's back and really excited for this conversation. If this is your intro, though, to Danielle, she is a former high school teacher who now uses her education background to share what the latest research has to say about women's cooperation, communication, and conflict. Her advice is incredibly useful. I see it all over social media, but you've probably also seen her featured in Oprah Magazine, The Washington Post, The New York Times, Psychology Today, CNN. She was on The Tamron Hall Show, and so much more. And we often get so many listener letters from young women and even grown-ass women asking for advice regarding their friendship. So I'm excited she's back. And some really exciting news. On May 7th, Danielle has a new book coming out called Fighting for Our Friendships, which the title alone, I'm like, yes, feels like it's going to be a useful book for us all to get. So welcome. Welcome back to the group chat.
I'm so glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
All right, y'all. It's time for the group chat.
So we're going to hop right in. I know there were some things that we wanted to discuss and more things have come up as I shared offline in our real lives with our friendship circles. But how do we determine the differences between healthy conflict with our friends versus unhealthy and toxic conflict with our friends?
Yeah, that's a great question because we often hear people say like, you know, you just have to fight for it. You have to fight for it. And some of us, we have really distorted views and histories with conflict in general. So we're doing things that are unhealthy and we're just like, I'm just fighting for it. And so, you know, the first thing to realize is that healthy conflict is a good thing. And there's research that shows that on the other side of healthy conflict, people report feeling closer to one another. And I'm sure many of us have our experience with that. Like, okay, you see me, we got through that, you understand me now, right? But anything that's helping us to solve a problem or meet a need while also maintaining our sense of dignity, that's probably healthy conflict, right? Trying to preserve connection. Anything that works against solving the problem, meeting a need, maintaining connection. So these are things like, you know, the silent treatment, like that's not helpful. Or going and talking about me to our other friend with no intention of trying to reconcile or to genuinely get perspective. You just want to kind of triangulate the situation. Or you delight in damaging my reputation. If we kept it totally real, you delight in her now seeing me more negatively. None of these things work to bring us together. And so I think asking myself, okay, am I doing and saying things with an intention to maintain a connection and preserve my dignity, the dignity of both parties? I think that's a good starting point.
Okay, I feel like that's great advice. But if I'm being completely honest, I have been guilty of that. My friend and I might be in a conflict and it's not that I'm trying to make her look bad. I'm more so trying to check myself and get like a second opinion. Like, am I bugging? Like, or am I right in what I'm feeling and involving another person? Is it your advice to not involve a mutual friend or maybe a third party friend that's only close to you and to just go directly to the person you're having the conflict with?
Oh, I think it's super helpful to involve a third person. You would have to check yourself and ask yourself, am I genuinely here because I'm trying to like talk this through with somebody? I need to get perspective. I need to know, you know, have you experienced this? Am I being overly sensitive? So it's very helpful. In fact, you know, there's some research that says that one of the reasons why women's friendships are more fragile than men's might be because we are dyadic, meaning we form relationships one-to-one, our friendships, whereas they tend to roll with the squad, which accounts for the reason why we have more platonic intimacy, right? Because we're closer. But one downside of that might be that when we are experiencing conflict, we don't have a third party to help kind of mediate that. It's just the two of us. So I think it's definitely been helpful for me to go to somebody else, especially somebody who knows her, and to say, okay, is this like that was messed up, right? Or am I just being sensitive? But I think we have to check in with ourselves. Are you doing it because you are trying to take her down a notch in somebody else's eyes? Because reputation is very important for us. Mm. And plant seeds of doubt and gossip against her? Or are you genuinely trying to integrate a healthy perspective with an attempt to kind of gain clarity and or to reconcile?
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I'm reflecting on certain situations.
I know. I'm like, look at you checking yourself. Like,
I think it also comes from, you know, obviously not to get into too much detail, but it can also come from previous experiences of having friends who you go directly to them and you say, hey, this really bothered me. And that friend gaslighting you and saying, you're being dramatic, you're being sensitive, you're nagging me. Like, so then you offload that information to someone else. Mm-hmm. I also wonder, how many times do you think you go to the friend and tell them, X bothered me? Do you just keep going to them over and over again? Or do you tell them, leave the ball in their court, and then maybe it's time to depart from that friendship?
Yeah, so it's so interesting to see like how much of our personal stuff is going to play out in our relationships, right? Because you'd have to ask yourself, okay, am I highly critical? Does everything she does bother me? Does everything people do annoys me, right? How much margin of error or how much margin for mistakes do I offer to my friends? Mm. You know, so for some of us, we are critical and everything is, I didn't like that. Okay, to some extent, she needs to be able to have obnoxious habits that you just don't prefer, you know. But if it's something where it's like, okay, this is either something urgent because it was so egregious and it's going to pose a threat to my well-being or whatever, or okay, this has been a pattern, so I need to let her know. I'm always more curious about what happens after, not necessarily that the friend did the thing. Friends are going to do the thing. They're going to disappoint you. I have disappointed many a friend. But what happens next? If I come to you and say, hey, what you said last night, I really feel some kind of way about that. You said it in front of everybody all loud. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm curious to see if it's, wait, what do you mean? Okay, I did not mean it like that. I'm so sorry. Or wait, I didn't mean it that way. Like, what's going on? I'm curious about that. Or if it's, well, I had to because you, ba 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 ba. Mm-hmm. Or you're just being sensitive, ba 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 ba. To me, that's something else entirely. Because for people who are defensive, they are unable to see their wrongs. Or they're kind of showing you, and I hate to sound dramatic, but that like there's no emotional or psychological safety for you. Like, I'm going to do it and just like too bad. Like, yeah, you would have to ask yourself, is that a friendship I want to stay in? Or you would say, okay, I'm going to stay in the friendship, but I'm going to kind of change or adapt how I engage with this person. But to say, hey, that hurt my feelings or caused some kind of harm, and for a person to give you some kind of reaction that shows I'm unbothered by you feeling negatively impacted, like, yes, I think that says something larger about the friendship.
Yeah, I think that's so valid. I'm also, do you watch Housewives of Potomac?
Okay, I haven't watched like the last two seasons, but fill me in.
Okay, it's reminding me of one of the women on the show, Ashley. Mm-hmm. And Ashley will always apologize. She has no problem saying, I'm so sorry. Like, I was wrong. I started the drama. I stirred the pot. And then next season, she does it again. So there's something in between. There are people who will be like, I don't really give a shit how you feel. Mm-hmm. There are people who will say, I'm so sorry, and change behavior. And then there are people who will say, I'm so sorry, but their behavior shows that they don't give a shit.
Totally. Oh my God. Okay. Yes. Because a good apology has two things, right? It's not just like, oh, I'm sorry I did that. A good apology does two things. It speaks to the injured party's mind and heart, because my mind needs to know that you actually get it. You get why I'm upset, because I need to be reassured that this is not going to happen again. And I also need to feel like you genuinely care, right? Mm. So if your apology is constructed in such a way where I'm like, okay, she understands where I'm coming from and she genuinely cares. If you do it again, that is some form of telling me you don't care. I know your mouth did, but you don't care because you're doing it again. And so again, I'm all for like first, even second chances because people are human. But if I tell you verbally, hey, I'm sorry, that could just be, hey, I'm trying to appease you in the moment. Or I'm saying, I actually do really feel bad. But if I have no commitment or desire to actually modify my behavior, I mean, I can love you all day long, but I also don't feel safe here.
Yeah. Ooh. Why are female friendships so hard? Like, why are they so... Like, I don't even... My husband, I can't remember the last time he got into something with one of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like women... And I know you touched on it. We're more like one-on-one versus the group. Are there any other... like reasons why ours might be a bit more dramatic?
Okay. Yes. Two things. So the first is, and I put this in like the opening story of my book, Fighting for Our Friendships, but I opened the book with a story about like how a friend and I were about to have this talk on the phone, right? We're going to just like hash it out. And we have the whole talk. It's like 2 hours long. And my husband just kind of looks at me after and he's like, man, you would never catch that happening with two guys. Like, it's never going to be this complicated. And so late that night, I just was scrolling social media and I just was curious and I looked up the word complicated. Like, what does it actually mean? And it's at the intersection of many parts. And I thought that's exactly why it's complicated, because the research continues to show that we integrate our friends into our lives to the degree of a sibling, but men to the degree of a cousin. And so we have more depth than men do, but yes, we have more fallouts, but it's not because we're petty, but it's because you're probably not falling out with somebody you're not invested with to begin with. So I know I'm generalizing men, but for many of them who are like, oh yeah, that's my boy. And you're like, you haven't talked to him since the 11th grade. So I don't understand how he's still your boy. But if we have an emotional distance, we barely talk, then we probably are not falling out. If I don't have high expectations of you anyway, it's probably not that serious. And for women, it's the total opposite. And I'll end with this. The research also shows that women do tend to have higher expectations in their close relationships than men do. And that's both romantic and platonic. Mm. And so I think just when you kind of put all those things together, it kind of makes for some tension sometimes.
Yeah.
But are there also greater benefits of female and female friendships? Like, you know, there's some people that'll say like, I'm not friends with women. I can't be friends with women, you know?
I know. And that was my mantra from like 2005 to 2007. But yeah, there are tons of benefits. So one is, you know, a lot of us are familiar with the concept of fight or flight as stress responses. But when they did that study again, this time with women, they found that women have two additional stress responses and they're called tend or befriend. So when we're distressed, we either go and tend to people we believe to be more vulnerable and take care of them, or we befriend, or we go to our group, like our girls. And it decreases cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and increases oxytocin. And so doing that like bonds us to be stressed and to go to women friends. It bonds us and it brings our stress down. There's also research that finds that women who have female dominated circles tend to make more money and advance in their careers more than those who don't. They tend to have more satisfaction in their romantic relationships. And it also says that they are more likely to be able to regulate their emotions better with female friends. And so there's lots of different aspects of specifically befriending other women.
Hmm. And then I have a question. How do you hold a friend accountable? Like, you say, you see they're doing something and you want to tell them, hey, like, this is not okay. But also, like, you're their friend. You're not their mom. You're not their husband. Like, you're not the boss of them. Mm-hmm. Can you hold a friend accountable?
Okay. Yes. But here, I'm going to tell you what accountability is to me and why it's so tricky. Because the research tells us that the number one thing women look for in their same-sex friendships is emotional support. And we kind of intuitively know that to be true, but it's, like, nice to kind of see it. Like, okay, that's, if nothing else, this is what I expect of my women friends, right? I think this is what makes accountability feel so tricky, because I don't want to do or say anything that makes you think that I'm not supporting you right now, right? Mm. And so accountability means you are gently reminding somebody of the commitments that they made. So I'm not putting on you what I want you to do. Accountability is, you said you wanted to do this. So I'm gently reminding you of the standards that you set for yourself. And if I'm trying to make you feel bad about it, like, if you go back to that guy after swearing you were done because he treats you like trash. And I'm like, wow, really? Like, it's just dumb. That's so dumb. Like, I can't believe you. I'm shaming you because I want you to feel bad. But accountability, I'm calling you up. Hey, last week, you said that you hate the way he makes you feel. And now this week, you're saying that, like, we're talking to him again. You know, help me understand because I care about you. And I'm not understanding. Okay. So I'm letting you know. And you know, I'm not tone policing. Say it how y'all say it, how you talk in your friendship. But I'm letting you know. You set a goal in front of me and I bore witness to that. So psychologically, I can't suddenly like look away from it because I want to see you win. That's a goal you just said. But it's just tricky because so many of us, it's deeply uncomfortable to be held accountable. I mean, it is for me. It's yeah. uncomfortable because it can feel like a reminder that you failed. Mm-hmm. And who wants to be reminded you failed? It's embarrassing. But real friends or girls, I feel like being a girl's girl is not saying yes to everything you want to do. Because at some point I'm enabling you. It's saying, hey, I love you. You said that this doesn't feel good to you. And now you're changing your mind. What's going on? And to some degree, she is going to make her own choices because she's her own person.
Right.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey, group chat. Have you ever wondered what's in the products you use on a daily basis? Elle, like the letter, is a brand committed to providing you period care products inspired by nature, made without dyes, fragrances, and synthetic pesticides. Their pads have a breathable cotton top layer and plant-based core, and their tampons contain an organic cotton core. Not only can you feel good about Elle's ingredients, but also Elle's price. With tampons and pads that protect for under $5 a month, Elle believes access to period care is not only a fundamental right for everyone, but an opportunity for change as well. That's why Elle is on a mission to make exceptional period care accessible for all by providing funding each year to nonprofit community-based organizations around the world. And they're focused on period care accessibility, menstrual health education, and employment opportunities. So if you're looking for a brand that aligns with your values of giving back and using products inspired by nature, look no further than Elle. If you want to learn more about their mission or browse their full range of products, visit their website at thisiselle.com. And the next time you're in the period care aisle, look for Elle pads and tampons. Choose love, choose Elle, and tell them that Black Girls Texting sent you. Hey, group chat, it's Sade, and y'all know I love to shop black, okay? There's a whole collection of black-led products that fit into your daily lifestyle, and you can show black founders some love so easily, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase, because every time we buy a black-led brand, we make room for another black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart. So go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing black-owned brands you can add to your daily routine. Some of my personal favorites are the Do Hair Care. They get my twists out popping. Okay. The Lip Bar. They have a red lip that can go on any hue. And if you have not tried Partake cookies, they are so delicious. So I highly recommend you go on over to walmart.com/blackandunlimited and tell them that Black Girls Texting sent you.
Toyota is doing big things helping grassroots community organizations across the country with its Nudge campaign. The Nudge campaign reflects Toyota's commitment to supporting and furthering the success of those who need it most. A few months ago, Toyota debuted the After the Nudge podcast. The podcast is a 7-episode limited series hosted by acclaimed journalist Soledad O'Brien and former NBA All-Star J.R. Smith. It features conversations with community organizations that Toyota nudged via $10,000 microgrants. We get to find out what happens after the nudge. On the After the Nudge podcast, you'll hear from founders and leaders like Paulana Lamonier from Black People Will Swim, Dr. Khalid El Hakim from the Black History 101 Mobile Museum, Demetrius Harris from Fly Compton Foundation, and others. Learn how a simple nudge from Toyota helped boost their momentum, amplify their movements, and/or propelled them to greater heights. Look for the Toyota After the Nudge podcast on Toyota.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll know it's real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to the thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey group chat, it's me, Sade. Are you all tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card and tell them Black Girls Texting sent you.
Calling all heroes. Coca-Cola and Marvel are teaming up to release limited edition Coca-Cola products featuring your favorite Marvel characters. Collect them all to assemble your own Marvel universe. And be sure to scan your Coca-Cola for a chance to win super-powered prizes and unlock powerful AR experiences. But act fast, fans. These collectibles won't last long. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the U.S. and D.C. who are 13 and up. Ends June 30th, 2024. Visit coke.com/Marvel24 for official rules. And now we're back with more Black Girls Texting.
For some reason, what we just spoke about reminded me of another Housewives storyline. But when Cynthia gave, I think it was Nene, a friendship contract.
Yes.
And made her sign it. And everyone thought it was so funny. But I wonder if that was her trying to communicate that you're not acting as a friend. So let's lay out what a friend is. Mm-hmm. And now you promise to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. That was intense. That was definitely intense. I remember watching that and be like, oh my God, like that's not your boyfriend. But what's so strange is like now that I've, you know, been studying this stuff, now I think it's kind of interesting. It did feel like a lot, but I think it's interesting because friendship is like the one relationship where there's so much ambiguity. Mm. Like, are we friends? Are we not? We haven't talked, but are we still, what do you expect of me? I don't know. And in everything else, we already know, like, that I'm going to be your emergency contact, like with a romantic partner, with your children, with your coworkers, we know. And friendship, you don't. So to some degree, I'm like, I actually kind of get it that this person's saying, before we move forward, these are the things that make me feel good, my needs and preferences. All right, you good? You signing on for that? So it felt intense, but now I kind of get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt crazy, but I'm like, maybe I need to write a friendship contract.
Child. If there was a friendship contract, like a universal one, do you think there would be some essential elements of a friendship contract?
Well, there already are, and we just don't say it that way. But for women specifically, so I call it the three affinities of female friendship. So for the past 6 years of doing this work, I keep noticing these same themes emerge of three things that bring us together. And if we're not tight in these three areas, it tends to be a point of tension. And those three things are feelings of symmetry, feelings of support, and feelings of secrecy. And so we might not say it, but those, I've like even interviewed more than 600 women and asked them to tell me, why did you break up with your last friend? And we can see the themes in all of them. So support, we already talked about. Number one, I want to feel like you support me. But obviously that's problematic because we often don't articulate what support looks like. I just want you to like know it and do it. Okay. So there's that. Then there's symmetry. So feelings of sameness, equality, egalitarianism. All women are the same. We're equal. You're my peer. You're not my mom. You're not criticizing me. Reciprocity, balance. So that symmetry is very important to women. So whereas men can kind of withstand like roasting one another a little bit or kind of having like a hierarchy, we don't do as well with that. So I often make the joke of like, if a guy says in his guy friends like, oh yeah, I ran 5 miles yesterday. And another guy's like, okay, well, bro, you're going to have to step it up because I ran 10. You know, they're going to laugh. It's not really a threat to the friendship. you already know. You already know. You just know that in a group of women, if I say I ran 5 miles and you say, yeah, well, I ran 10, we're privately going to be in the group chat later. Like
what's
wow.
up with her?
Yeah. Like, is she good?
Yeah. It's just not, we just don't do that. And then finally, secrecy. So that just kind of speaks to like feelings of exclusivity in the vault. Like it's me and you, self-disclosure. We prioritize each other the same because the research says that women really value mutual prioritization. Meaning if I feel like you're my number one, I want to know I'm your number one. And that's why there's so much drama sometimes with bridal parties and bridesmaids, because my whole life I might be thinking I'm like your number one, number two. And then I don't even make it to the bridal party. And it like disrupts what I thought, like, oh, I guess we don't see each other the same. You know, so those three things kind of already are women's contracts. We just don't say it. And that's support, symmetry, and secrecy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I want to know if I place you as number one, I want to know you place me as number one. That one is like a real one. Because I feel like it also goes into like, if I'm there for you, like when something happens to you, I drop everything and I'm there for you. Mm-hmm. And when something happens to me, you're nowhere to be found. It's like, then I'm like, what is this friendship? It feels, we always hear one-sided friendships is like the friendship killer. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about if you and your friend are kind of in a rut? You've been going through some difficult times. You've had a few difficult conversations. You've both apologized, but like, it's not back to what it was. What can you do to kind of like rekindle the friendship?
Okay. So I think this is so interesting because do you remember, I think it was like maybe season 4 of Insecure, but like when Molly and Issa, the whole thing, right? And they come back the final season and we're like, what I thought was so beautiful about that show and unique was they let us sit in the awkwardness with them. Like that was like an awkward stretch of like, what are we? What this? I'm trying, but this is so weird. And at one point, I think Issa asked Kelly, she was like, hey, when you and Tiffany had some of your fallouts, like, how did you guys get back? And she said, you have to be fake back before you can be back. And what she meant was, yeah, right? Like, it might be kind of awkward because you're both, it still stings a little bit, right? But once you guys start to drift, that a lot of times is the beginning of the end. So to still try, you know, to the degree that it feels comfortable. Hey, do you want to come over on Friday? Or like, hey, do you want to, you know, go to that new wine bar everybody's talking about? You know, even though I know, okay, we're not in our rhythm. It's kind of awkward after we just kind of like had that awkward talk. But how can I demonstrate to you I'm still invested and I trust we'll like loosen up again and not be so awkward? And so those are the kinds of things we can do, like get back in the saddle. We can say reassuring things to one another because a lot of times we get in our head like, okay, she just being fake nice, or like, is she talking about our issue to other people still? Like, we don't know. So remember, as much as you can minimize ambiguity in your friendships, even in an awkward stage like that, it's really helpful.
Oh my God. I'm actually so happy you're on right now. You don't even know. This is very helpful. And I'm sure our listeners will agree because, yeah, I think people just, you know, you want to put your best foot forward, but you also want to protect yourself.
Sure.
And you also have pride. Like there's I don't even know if this is the proper way of saying it. I'm not Jamaican, but I grew up in a West Indian neighborhood and it's like, bad man, no beg for friend. Like, I don't want to beg for your friendship. Mm-hmm. It's either you want to be my friend or you don't. Mm-hmm. And like, but I do understand the piece of like, you got to put yourself out there. And even if it feels fake, if you care about it, you just keep faking it.
Which sounds bad, you know, nobody wants advice. It's like, you just got to fake it, girl. But to some degree, you know, don't say anything that's untrue. Don't operate inauthentically. But to like, maybe we're not hanging out as much, or maybe I'm not filling you in about every detail of my dating life like I used to because it's awkward now. But what are the things I can do to show you like, I'm still trying, or okay, we're cool, or we're going to be fine. We'll be fine, but it is awkward right now. You know, so how much can we call it out? Okay, this is, I know we're in our little awkward stage, girl, but do you want to come to Target with me or not? You know, so, you know, that way it's like, I see what you see, but come on now. Because in every other context, we would. Like with a boyfriend, you would probably do that. Like, I'm mad at you, but like, yeah, let's still go on our road trip. You know, like, that's what we're going to do. But with friendship, I do think it's what you said. It's hard because it's very vulnerable to say, I want this, and then risk that you don't. And now I look clingy, or I look like I was way more invested than you were. Can be really hard.
Yeah.
Thanks again for listening to Black Girls Texting. Make sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you listen and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Oh, and don't forget to text every group chat you're in and tell them to check us out. Follow your girls at Black Girls Texting, and we'll see you next week. Bye.